live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 10th day of April 2026. Before I introduce my guest and special co-host today, I have a wonderful announcement to make, and all of you pastors and men in ministry leadership should get a hold of your calendars right now to mark down on your calendars the date of my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free biannual pastors luncheon. The luncheon will be held on Thursday, October 1st. 2026, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And the keynote speaker will be David A. Harrell. Dr. Harrell is a prolific author, and the book that he will focus on as his keynote address will be Why America Hates Biblical Christianity, Pursuing Christ's Likeness in Times of Mounting Hostility and Apathy. And Dr. Harrell has received some very high accolades for this book, including from the late Dr. John MacArthur. Everything is, as always, free at my biannual pastor's luncheons, at the insistence and because of the very design of my precious late wife, Julie, whose brainchild these pastors' luncheons are. We launched them together in the 1990s when I was still living on Long Island. And ever since she has gone home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity in 2010, I have been continuing to conduct these pastors' luncheons in tribute to her and in loving memory of her. So everything is free. Your admission, your meal, and your time to hear what will be a no doubt a challenging, powerful, and edifying message by Dr. Harrell, all free. But on top of all of that, everybody receives a heavy sack of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. If you would like to attend this event, if you are a man in ministry leadership, send me an email to register at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And give me your full name, the name of your church or parachurch ministry, and its location, and the number of men who will be joining you at this event. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And once again, it will be held on Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. But now to introduce my guests today, which will be a first-time guest and also a returning guest that is serving as my co-host today. Let me first introduce you to my primary guest who is here for the first time ever on Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. His name is Russell Threet, and he is Professor of Biblical Counseling and Dean of the Counseling Certificate Program at Forge Theological Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. And he's going to be addressing the theme, The Body of Christ and Autism, a Practical Guide for Churches and Families. And if you know anyone with autistic children, I would immediately begin contacting them by phone, by email, by text, by opening up your window and yelling next door, whoever these people are, and however you communicate with them, let them know that we are doing this special program on autism today. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Trip and Zion Radio, Russell Threet.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I'm really excited about being here.
And I'm excited about having you here. And Russell is here because of the very high recommendation of one of his former students. And this dear brother happens to be a friend of mine. His name is Jason Contino, and he is pastor of Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island. And it's great to have you back on the program serving as my co-host today, Pastor Jason.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, let me backtrack here a bit and go back to Russell. Please tell our listeners about the Forge Theological Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina.
Jason could probably say as much as I can about Forge. Forge is, I think, a diamond in the rough that's out there in theological education, confessionally reformed, solid biblically, very high-level academic seminary. They offer many different programs from the certificate level all the way up to the doctoral level. And the really great thing about Forge is its focus on really wanting to educate men for men and women as well, but primarily men serving in pastoral ministry with a solid biblical education. But also the thing that drew me to Forge front end was just how accessible they are as being a fully online seminary, but also just the price point for the programs there. It's arranged almost like you would a subscription service. When you enroll in a program, you're accepted. You pay a standard rate that, and I think they range from about $65 or $70 a month up to about $85 or $90 a month, depending on what level of education you're at. And there is just not much like it out there when you talk about the faculty that's there, the academic level that's there, as well as, again, the financial accessibility. It's a great seminary, great programs.
The only thing that puzzles me about Forge is I'm still looking for that invitation to join the faculty that seems to have been lost in the mail. I never see it.
With Dr. Burgess, our president.
And if anybody wants to find out more about Forge Theological Seminary, go to forge.education, forge.education. And now, Pastor Jason Contino, who is my co-host today, please tell our listeners about Harborview Christian Church.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, so Harborview Christian Church is a Christian church in the village of Port Jefferson, non-denominational, reformed in soteriology.
And Baptistic, right?
Here. And Baptistic, yes. Chris, I am going to be baptizing four people this Sunday. God willing, we will be baptizing a former Roman Catholic lady, a former Jehovah's Witness man, a former Mormon, and a former Hebrew Israelite.
And they're not all in a bar leading up to a joke, right?
Can you imagine? Walter Martin is very thrilled with Harborview right now. But, yeah, so we are We are located right in the heart of Port Jefferson. I've been the pastor here for 3 years. I went through a 3-year pastoral apprenticeship program, the Timothy Pastoral Apprenticeship. And then I discovered Forge Theological Seminary a couple of years ago. And they gave me a third of the credits I needed towards my master's in theological studies from the Timothy Pastoral Apprenticeship. And I wanted to take my electives in biblical counseling, get my certificate in biblical counseling. And that's how I crossed paths with Dr. Threet. I ended up taking 3 or 4 classes with him, and we just became, we hit it off right away. And I said, you know what, I've got to introduce you to my friend Chris Arnson, because this is such a well-kept secret. It needs to be out there. Men need to realize that they could be advancing themselves ministerially through biblical counseling or just theological studies, and they could do it while not having to hang up, not having to leave their offices, not having to leave their congregations.
If anybody wants to find out more about Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island, New York, go to harborviewchristian.church. That's harborviewchristian.church. If you wouldn't mind, since I was just announcing the next date for my next biannual free Iron Trip and Zion Radio Pastors Luncheon, featuring our keynote speaker for the first time, Dr. David A. Harrell. If you wouldn't mind, Jason, since you've been at many of my pastors' luncheons, if you wouldn't mind describing to my audience your experiences there.
It's for me, it's like coming home. I get to see men that I've seen over the years, guys that I've co-labored with, guys that I now can reach out to, have conversations with, ask them questions. Guys such as yourself, Samuel Farag, meeting people like Dr. James White, Dr. Boot, Conrad Mbewe. It's just amazing. And to listen to these men speak, I can't speak highly enough of it. And then to leave with 1 or 2 bags of books to supplement and grow my library, of solid Reformed theology has been just an amazing experience. And I try not to miss. I had to miss a couple of years ago for my younger son's wedding. So please forgive me.
Which just reveals your horrible level of priorities there. But well, it's always a joy to see you there. Definitely by now would not be quite the same without you there, since you've been to so many. And once again, if you're a man in ministry leadership, pastor, elder, deacon, or just parachurch leader, send me an email if you'd like to attend on Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, PA. Send that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. and give us your name and the name of your ministry, its location, and the number of men who are joining you. Well, this is a very important topic that we are addressing today. I know that I have done programs in the past on with biblical counselors who were focusing their attention on the unique challenges that come with raising children who have mental disabilities. I believe that specifically the area in the past that I have addressed was mental retardation. And I know that a lot of people freak out when you use that term. It's apparently no longer politically correct to do so, but I can recall my guest saying it's completely acceptable and that you don't have to shy away from using that term. But as far as doing a full 2-hour show on autism, I don't believe, I mean, I could be wrong. I don't believe I've done that. And in fact, now that I'm saying this, I know that I did have a program that involved one of my former colleagues at WMCA Radio where I worked for 15 years, Kevin Cottrell, who hosted the morning show there, he has, I believe, at least two children that are autistic. So I guess I misspoke. I did cover this, but it's been so long. I believe it's very important to readdress this issue. First of all, I think it would be helpful if you give us, Daryl, a definition of autism and what is known about how this even occurs in children.
Russell, right, Chris? You want Russell to?
Yes. Did I say right. Russell or not? I'm sorry if I gave a wrong name. I'm sorry.
You're all right.
You gave Daryl, I figured.
Oh, yeah, that's because I'm looking at Daryl's book. Who's the keynote speaker for my luncheon. I'm sorry.
You know, I want to be clear on the front end here. You know, I'm not a medical professional. I'm a pastor and an autism vet, teach some seminary courses as well. But autism is generally just is described as, you know, I think the basic would be it's a neurological and developmental condition that typically is defined as affecting how people communicate, interact, behave, learn. There's many different aspects, and what's called autism now is much broader than what many people are familiar with maybe 10, 20 years ago. They speak of autism on a spectrum, and that spectrum can go from someone who is completely nonverbal, has physical issues that are somewhat associated with their autism, all the way up to there being people who are diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum who you may interact with them a lot and never truly know. You wouldn't have any idea that's, you know, an issue for them. So it is a very broad spectrum.
And there are people in the spectrum who are literally geniuses in certain areas, aren't there?
Sure, that's something that comes up a lot. They call that savantism. It's just been sometimes associated with autism. There are many, many people that would be classified on the autism spectrum. One of the famous ones that comes to mind, in a lot of books, does a lot of speaking, Dr. Temple Grandin. She's autistic. There's been movies about her. She's written books, but she has a PhD, I think, in agriculture, and she's behind most of the meat processing facilities in the United States.
Yes, I saw the movie on her, the biographical mm-hmm. movie.
Right, and so autism is kind of a hot topic in a lot of ways because of its prevalence, because of how much more it's being diagnosed, and in the church, just as it seems to be with so many different things, you know, educationally, we've come a long way in autism. Medically, we've come a long way in how we support these families. But the church, as we seem to do sometimes, we lag behind on how we interact. And that's my heart. You know, I'm a pastor primarily. That's my primary vocation. And I, you know, I have a son who's autistic, and I just have seen a need to help churches who most of them truly want to minister to this population and their families, but sometimes they just don't know where to begin.
And tell us about your own discovery, I'm assuming through some kind of medical examination, but there were obviously indications, symptoms that led up to you even having these examinations where you discovered your own child has autism. And is it just one child?
Yes. I have three sons, one of my sons.
Tell us about that.
So at that time, we lived in Virginia. I was serving as a youth pastor at a church in Orange, Virginia. My son was probably about, it was 2 and a half, something like that. He was not speaking really at all, maybe repeating some things. He could say some letters and numbers, but no communication to speak of. We kind of began that process. Most autistic families get in this cycle where they go and they say something's not right. And, the story I always hear is somebody says, well, they're just behind. Don't worry about it. We went through all of that and then kind of kept pressing the issue. And we were blessed at that time. We lived very close to the University of Virginia, and they had some great doctors there. And we got connected with a specialist over there. And we kind of had begun this process and doing some things, and they were doing some testing. And I remember, for whatever reason, we thought it was just another kind of normal appointment. We didn't know this was going to be the appointment, and I couldn't go. I always say it was one of the worst mistakes I've made in my marriage and being a father. My wife went by herself, and that was the day the doctor just dropped that on her, that, your son is autistic. And, you kind of think when you seek out this answer, when you get an answer, it's going to come along with a plan, right? Okay, so here's this diagnosis, and here's what you need to do first, and here's what you need to do next. And that just wasn't the case. They just kind of gave us a diagnosis and then sent us out the door, and that began the process of us trying to figure out what is the best way to support our son, help him. And it's been a real journey, as it typically is for most families.
And tell us where on the spectrum your child is, your son. And
So William Paul would, I tell people, if you're around him for very long at all, you would recognize that there's something going on there. He's physically, he's fine. He's got now, he can communicate very well when he decides to, but he's also, when you talk to him, he's not always going to tune in with you. He might just talk about something random, and he's probably not going to stay connected very long in communicating. He's very, very much not going to carry on a conversation for a long period of time most of the time. Occasionally he tunes in, but so he does, pretty well grade level work in school, but he's very naive, very innocent, and just may his grace. He's just a joy to the people that are around him, but it's likely that he will need assistance for his whole life. We pray and we begin to talk about what's he going to do long term. Is there jobs that he can work and things like that? But I think that answer's out there for him. We're on that journey with him, but I think for the, as long as I'm alive, my thinking is probably that he'll be a man.
And Pastor Jason Contino, since you're my co-host, you may feel free to jump in whenever you'd like with a question, but I'd like to ask you, have you been challenged yourself with having to pastor individuals who either themselves have a similar or the exact kind of mental challenge, or who are the parents of such people?
I was sharing with Dr. Threet after reading his book that it really challenged me, really hit me in the heart, because we do have a young man who reminds me of the character in your book. I think Carter was the most severe, who lives in a group home, and so this young man reminds me of that gentleman. And the first thing I did after reading the book was I texted this young man's father, just to say that he comes very infrequently. They'll bring him from the group home very infrequently, but he was there on Easter, which was only last week. And I just said, I just wanted to tell you what a joy it was having your son in our service. And I hope that this is something that you guys feel comfortable to do in the future. I want our church to be a congregation that is encouraging of that, because now as I look back, I could see how perhaps him being in a group home and perhaps the family dynamic has made it hard for both parents to come, almost, you know, that where there's this, perhaps this guilt, I want to be with my son on Sunday and we'll bring him out, we'll have dinner, but we don't want to distract the congregation. And I think the book itself, Ministry Across the Spectrum, that's the name of the book, right?
Yes.
I feel like that book itself just put on my heart as a pastor the significance of being able to create that environment for this young man to feel safe, for his family to feel encouraged, to feel like they're not distracting anyone, and for our people to look at this as an opportunity to be the body of Christ, to be his bride, and to love these families.
And the way that you described what you've read, Pastor Jason, as far as Russell Threet's book, it sounds like it's a novel. Is that correct, or
it's? I'll let Dr. Threet speak to it. But what I experienced was it goes chapter by chapter, describing three different families with three different children at various levels on the spectrum. And so you go through and you see each child having this difficulty, a young lady who has mild autism, the young lady is maybe about 10 or 11 years of age. The young man is, I think, in 11th grade, and then an older son who is the one who lives in a group home. So you go from mild to moderate to severe levels of autism. But then as you experience these very real situations, you then look at how to address it from a pastoral perspective, what Dr. Threet calls a pew perspective, which would be for the church body, and then for the parents' perspective. And so there's these three different perspectives of dealing with these different people in these different situations as they come up. So it is very much like a novel, but with such real application and biblical guidance.
Great.
It's basically written, like you said, with these three families with individuals in the family that have autism at various degrees, I guess you would say, and I try to walk them through the life of the church. And so chapter by chapter, it's, you know, hey, this is what it might look like for these families to even prepare to try to go to church. And then, hey, maybe this is what it looks like trying to go to Sunday school with this family, and then to the worship service. And then, hey, have you thought about what it is to counsel someone with autism, or counsel a marriage that has children with autism? And like you said, at the end of each segment or piece of the life of the church, then I try to address practical thinking to the pastors, to the fellow church members in the pew, and then to the autism families themselves.
Well, we're going to our first commercial break. If you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. If you live outside of the USA, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsfortheloss.com. That's heartsfortheloss.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, my guest today is Russell Threet. And Dr. Threet is on the faculty of Forge Theological Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. And today we are addressing his book, The Body of Christ and Autism, A Practical Guide for Churches and Families. My co-host is Pastor Jason Contino, pastor of Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island, New York, who is a former student of Dr. Threet's. And if you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least. City and state and country of residence. We have a listener who I believe is a first-time listener. He can correct me with a follow-up email if I am wrong. But we have Jared in Dry Fork, Virginia. And Jared says, hi, Chris and Dr. Evans. Oh, ah, I see that he is sending in a question to next week's guest. He jumped the gun.
Russell's good, Chris. Russell's good. Give him the question.
It's not far from our conversation. Just so you know, folks, next Wednesday, the 15th of April, I am having another first-time guest, Dr. Keith Evans, Associate Professor of Christian Counseling at Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina, and former Director of Biblical Counseling of the Biblical Counseling Institute, and Academic Dean at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he's discussing the theme of his doctoral dissertation, Developing an Awareness of the Demonic in Biblical Counseling, A Conversation with William Perkins, and a Reformed Analysis of Popular Roman Catholic Exorcist Chad Ripperger. And that's going to be next Wednesday. I wanted to have Dr. Evans on, especially because of the celebrity status of Roman Catholic exorcist Chad Ripperger. He's been on Tucker Carlson's podcast, and he's been on former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan's podcast. And I'm sure if he's been on those podcasts, he's been on a number of others. And I've been noticing that there are other exorcists. I think everyone I've seen is Roman Catholic on other podcasts. And I wanted a thorough Reformed analysis of this man, but also to talk about the demonic in general, because in Reformed circles, it, I believe, has been grossly neglected and avoided and ignored, etc. The whole topic is usually not brought up in conversations or in sermons, etc. But going back to our listener in Dry Fork, Virginia, he says, the subject of mental illness and biblical counseling is controversial, to say the least. In your opinion, how much of what is considered today as mental illness is actually demonic possession? So we'll ask that again next Wednesday, Jared, to Keith Evans, but I'll ask today's guest, Russell Threet.
Chris, if I could just set the table for you. I grabbed the wrong book of Russell Threet's when I came here from home, and I grabbed this Anchored in Truth, Reflections on Biblical Counseling, where Russell Threet has a chapter. Russell Threet's chapter is Spiritual Warfare in Biblical Counseling of this book.
Wow. Well, some providential occurrence there.
So let's go. What do you say, Jack?
Well, I mean, that's a huge question, obviously. And I think even connects to the autism situation, right? Because in some even hyper-charismatic circles, I don't know if you guys remember several years ago, that charlatan Greg Locke had a famous clip where he was talking about autism was just demonic. So, yeah. And I bring that up a little bit in the book, in a situation that I created. But I think it's hard to say specifically, but I guess the safe answer would be to say way more than anyone wants to admit. I think there's so much spiritual warfare that's going on, and you're right. You know, I pastor a conservative Baptist church in a small town, and Baptists, Reformed type folks that in general, we almost, because we want to stay so far away from the charismatic labels, we leave spiritual warfare alone too much. And I would say that I encounter very often people that I think are dealing with, I don't want to say demonic possession a lot. Okay. I think I have encountered that at times, but people that are being influenced by spiritual forces that are pulling them in different directions towards darkness. And I think it manifests in a lot of different ways, whether it's just through, through pulling them in deeper into addictive type behaviors, or just causing them to lash out against Christianity and anything that rings smacks of the truth. Sometimes it's more subtle than that. And so I guess I would just say, like I said, that how much I would say it's a whole lot more than anyone wants to actually say. Sure, I do believe a lot of our problems come from within. Our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The scriptures tell us that. But we have, in the conservative evangelical world, we have stepped away from recognizing there truly are spiritual forces out there that are seeking to tempt and distract and dominate people's lives through sin.
Amen. Thank you, Jared. And try listening to next Wednesday's program as well, since the guest that you actually intended your question before will be on Wednesday, the 15th of April. What are a broad range of symptoms that parents should be on the lookout for when it comes to early on in the development of their children detecting the possibility of autism and giving them more reasons to have a thorough examination with an expert on that issue?
I think the primary one that most people see early would be a lot of times is surrounding speech. The either very underdeveloped or non-existent speech is a big one, because that's really one of the first things you can notice as a child is growing. You know, you expect them to begin to form words, and when that's very, very slow in coming, I think that's one of the first ones. You know, people talk about eye contact. I think that's a tough one in babies and in toddlers sometimes. I think, you know, it becomes with the parents. I think you've got to trust the parents, particularly those if they've already had children, where they're saying, you know, they're not hitting these milestones. You know, the doctors give you those sheets, and I know there's a lot of variance there in how kids develop. But if you've got that instinct, there's something not right here. I encourage people to explore that, because you may get some pushback, you know, whether it's from your doctors or people around you, family members. Oh, no big deal. If you feel in your heart, you know, that there's just something not right, I would encourage people to really, you know, push to help, because, you know, there is really a window with kids where you can make a huge impact with certain therapeutic things. And really the rule is with autism, and again, I'm not a medical professional. I'm just somebody that's lived through this. But it's kind of the earlier, the better. And I think that really translates really to my pastoral focus with the book and those things, and some of the things I'm trying to teach and like get invited to go places with churches, is maybe you can give some people some hints on things to look out for if they notice certain behaviors, you know, whether it's the speech, whether it's eye contact, whether sometimes autistic people carry themselves I would describe it. And look, this is, I'm painting with a broad brush here. Autistic people are very unique person to person. They carry themselves much more rigidly in a physical sense. You know, if you begin to notice those things, maybe you don't want to go to a family and say, hey, is your kid autistic? Is your family member autistic? But you're watching and you're trying to engage the family. And what I tell people in the book is, most of the time, if they're coming into your place of worship, and they're trying to head things off because they have a lot of experience with it, and they're probably going to say, hey, we're glad to be here. This is my son or my daughter or my brother. And, you know, he's autistic, so he's a little, you know, they'll kind of give you that on the front end. Sometimes they won't. But a lot of times if you're looking and you're trying to be sensitive to that, you begin to see it. My wife and I kind of joke that we have an autism detector, because we'll see somebody walking around and like, I wonder, because there are just certain things you begin to notice.
And we have a listener in St. James, Long Island, New York, Greg. And Greg wants to know, are sometimes the symptoms of autism actually traits of superior behavior above the age level of your children's peers, things that have to do with perhaps the expert manner in which they build houses with blocks and other things like that?
Yeah, I would say my experience would say that that's very possible. I wouldn't want to say that it's always going to be that way. But for instance, my son, when he was young, we got a call one day. I was pastoring a church near Appomattox, Virginia, and his preschool teacher, and it was a special needs kind of preschool class, she called us and was kind of like, hey, are you guys busy? No. Well, hey, why don't you come up here a little early and pick him up? And we thought something was wrong, but she just kind of wanted to show us something. Again, my son wasn't talking in any meaningful way at this point in his life. He was 3 or 4 by this time. And what she found was, most of you will know, if you've had children or been around children, the magnet letters that everybody had growing up, the letters of the alphabet. What happened was, is she caught him spelling words with magnet letters. and he couldn't talk.
Wow.
And what we figured out was he could actually read. And so we got to where we would write things down, and you know, he didn't want to talk, but we'd say, okay, do you want juice or milk? And then he would point at one. And so for him, you know, he was very good with his numbers and very good with his letters, and was able to read, and, you know, at a very, very young age. And so I think there are times where they excel in one lane where they maybe they're ahead of their peers, and then there's so many areas where they're behind their peers. And so it's so difficult to ascertain, because you're like, well, if he can do that, you know, or she can do that, surely he's okay. They're okay. But sometimes it really does come down to how, you know, it really does come down to that, you know, they just have particular things that draw their interest, and they give themselves to it in a way, and they can focus on a particular thing. My son's had different focuses through the years that he was really interested in, and he knew everything about, and his knowledge was amazing. But if you wanted him to repeat, you know, he's in a school class and they want him to repeat this. Yeah, he knows it, but he doesn't care. He doesn't want to tell you when it's the time to tell you, you know, on a test or whatever.
I think that your example there with your own son with William Paul is just such a great example of why early intervention can be important to be significant, because now you have this opportunity to work on something that he's sort of excelling in, but it also allows you to communicate with him differently and him to communicate with you.
That's right.
We have Terrence, and I'm assuming I'm pronouncing this correctly, but I don't know for certain. Terrence in Vaughan, Vaughan, Ontario, Canada. And Terrence says, I know I've already heard you say that you're not a doctor, but has there been, as I have heard rumors of, nutritional breakthroughs in preventing and lessening the severity of symptoms for autistic children?
You know, again, anecdotally, I have a cousin I'm very close with that has an autistic child. I know of families where, you know, they have really focused on the diet aspect, and they really believe it's made a difference in their child's life. That's already been diagnosed autistic. You know, there's a lot of opinions out there in the world. From my family's perspective, you know, that's not something that has been a huge thing. My son's diet is so limited. You know, you're not going to make him eat anything he doesn't want to eat. Amazingly enough, his diet has grown in the last year, maybe more than any other time in his life, because he's in an agriculture class and he's learning about where food comes from. Yeah. And all of a sudden he wants to try things.
That's great.
And so, Are there people out there that say there are certain things that improve, you know, improve the lives, some of the symptoms? There's a lot of people out there with that opinion. And there's some research that maybe has shown some things in particular ways, certain supplements and things like that. I wouldn't be able to speak to that, you know, full-heartedly. But I do know personally some people that have felt like there's been a lot of improvement by adjusting dietary things in the lives of their family member.
I know in your book, a couple of the characters in the book had issues with diet, whether it was you mentioned in introducing them, concerns with texture and stuff like that. So that is oftentimes, I would imagine, tastes and textures could be just one of the symptoms that they're dealing with.
Yeah, I think it can be. It has been for us. You know, there's just even certain smells associated with food that just almost agitate, you know, like there's just something about it, whatever it is. Again, it varies person to person. So that's why I talk about, you know, in the life of the church, I don't know about you guys, but our church, one of the big things we like to do is eat together. And so a lot of those families, you know, they make sure that they're bringing something, or there's something there that their child's going to be able to eat, or they pack a special meal. And I always encourage, you know, people, if I'm asked or I have the opportunity, try not to mess with an autistic person surrounding their food, right? Don't try to say, oh, you need to eat this. This is great, and kind of push it at them, because they will make their opinion known very quickly. They hurt your feelings. I always tell the story of my son. One time my wife was gone and I made this stuff. It was like a hamburger helper, but it was like chicken helper. It was supposed to be lemon pepper, and he was young, and I made it and I gave it to him, and he took a bite of it and he pushed it at me and he said, no, thanks. Try again.
I've seen Chris do that in a restaurant. Chris is a foodie. I've seen him do that.
But, you know, I really am just in the life of the church. There are so many little areas where we can make a great impact with little things, or we can do real damage with little things. In the lives of these individuals and these families. And so, you know, the biggest piece of it, when you're trying to learn and trying to figure this out in a church setting, I tell people, trust the experts. And I don't mean doctors. I mean, trust the family members of these individuals. You know, talk to them, say, you know, hey, they're in my Sunday school class. I want them to be there. What's the best way for me to communicate with them? What do I need to give them to keep them, you know, settled and to help them be able to stay and participate? You know, how do I do that? Those family members are going to just, I promise you, if you make a sincere effort and you're honest about where you are and where you want to be, you acknowledge when there's a problem and you work through it together, you don't have to have, you know, my church is about 100 people. I don't have the capacity for a standalone special needs ministry. I don't think you have to have that. What you have to have is a compassionate heart that's willing to learn. You don't have to change your doctrine or lower the standards of the gospel, but learn what it is to try to step into their world a little bit.
That's good.
All right, let me ask one more listener question before we go to our midway break. Bobby in BB, Arkansas. It's either BB or Beeb.
It's BB.
Oh, it is BB. So Bobby and BB,
Arkansas.
Bobby in BB, Arkansas says, how does pastoral activity with folks in your church that may have mental impairments differ? On the one hand, I know it is wrong to be overly strict and overlook the fact that a disability of some kind may be preventing or harming the way a child or a person of any age with a mental disability is behaving. And in one sense, it may be beyond their control. But on the other hand, I've heard it's dangerous to be too soft and kind about issues that are causing disruption or even sin in the church when it comes to a mentally handicapped person. If you could please explain pastorally, how does one work in the spectrum of behavior that way?
So again, I would come back to, you know, if you're facilitating open and honest communication with this family, and you've shown a track record of, number one, we want you here. Number two, we want you to be involved in the life of the church as much as is possible. And, you know, I would encourage you, if there's something that rises to a level where there's a constant issue and a constant problem, and, you know, you need to talk to them about, you know, and I think you approach it this way. Is there something we can do to help, you know, help this individual be more comfortable, be more at ease, You know, it could be things as simple as making sure there's a specific place for them to sit, that maybe it's not as close to the speakers. Maybe it's close to a door. That way, if they need to step out and catch their breath, whatever the case may be, I would just caution you to start with compassion, okay? Because I'll give you a horror story. In the church I grew up in, was a pretty large church, and we had a new pastor. And I would give him a break here by saying that somebody should have told him this, but there was a young lady in our church, and I don't remember what her disability is. I believe it was maybe something like cerebral palsy. And she had a tic that every once in a while, she would just quickly and loudly clap two or three times. Everybody knew it. Nobody cared. It didn't bother anybody in the church, but nobody told the pastor. And so she did it two or three times in a service. And on the second or third time from the pulpit, he says something like, "Hey, we've got a nursery if you need to take your kids in there," or whatever the case was. And the whole church, 500 people, whatever it was, drew a collective breath like, "Oh my goodness." And I didn't know those people well. I was a young person at that time, but I can't imagine the impact that that had on them negatively for the pastor to do that. And again, somebody should have let him know, but you know, that's not wisdom to call something like that out unless you specifically know what's going on and you're trying to help. It's been something that's been an issue, whatever the case may be. So begin with compassion. Yeah, you don't want to let someone, you know, run up and down and go crazy and constantly. But you also understand we've got to have grace if something breaks out every once in a while. I think it was last year there was a church and the clip kind of went viral. They were having a transition time in service and the pastor was stepping to the pulpit. And all of a sudden, this young man just, you saw him streak behind the pulpit. Somebody came up there and got him and everybody was kind of settling down. It was a transition time. And he was talking and he stopped and he said, "Hey, I want to tell you guys something. That was so-and-so," and whatever the kid's name was. And he said, "If you've got a problem with him, you've got a problem with me. All right. He's, you know, we know him. That's his mom and dad. He's got you know, I don't know if he said he's on the autism spectrum or whatever, but every once in a while he said, hey, we want him to control him when they can, but if something happens, no big deal, you know," and he set that tone. And I think that's what a pastor can do. You can't be in every classroom. You can't be in every situation, but you can set the tone of, hey, we want to have control where we can, but if a problem happens, it's not the end of the world. We're not going to ostracize these people. We're going to handle it with grace, and we're going to go on about the life of the church.
Great. Great. And we're going to our midway break right now. And once again, if you would like to join our other listeners who have written in questions, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a tie in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide monthly financial support for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every single month automatically, on top of that, they are giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com. Whether you are purchasing jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, which you can see what they have in stock on their website right on your computer, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry designed and created, like an engagement ring, like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your business logo, your seminary or denomination logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up. They are masters at one-of-a-kind customized pieces of jewelry. I've seen firsthand what they can do. So no matter what the case may be, whether it's jewelry for yourself or someone you love, purchasing something in stock or having something customized, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale. So please get something for mom or your wife for Mother's Day and go to royaldiadem.com. And you'll be not only blessing that loved one with a beautiful, stunning, head-turning, exquisite piece of jewelry, but you'll also be helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air, because we'll get 100% of the profits from that sale. Go to royaldiadem.com today. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guests today, and my guest and my co-host, I have some very important reminders. Folks, if you listen to the show regularly, you know that Iron Sharp and Zion Radio just lost not long ago one of our largest advertisers, a local Christian bookstore that had been serving the body of Christ globally with the finest in Christian literature at the most reasonable prices. They were one of our largest advertisers, and sadly, after 50 years of business, just about 2 to 3 months ago, they had to permanently close their doors. And sadly, we therefore obviously lost that financial support. I'm asking you, I'm urging you, please, if you really love this show and you don't want us to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen as well, where you can mail a check at your post office made payable to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. And if you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm, a medical firm, maybe it's just a special event you're having, like a Bible conference or something. Whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. In fact, I would ask of you all to pray for a decision I'm waiting for from an advertiser that is up for renewal on their annual contract. And I was supposed to get the final decision today, and I haven't received it yet. Please pray. I hear good news today. But please help us yourself as well. Go to irontripandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. As much as I've been urging you to donate to us in a rather desperate fashion, I never want anybody in my audience to give less money to your own church where you're a member on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. Never cut into the finances that you have specifically set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. And if you yourself personally are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send in a financial gift. However, if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, and you really love the show, and you don't want it to go off the air, go to irontripandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you're not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island, New York, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a church that's biblically faithful near you, as I have done with many people spanning the entire globe in our audience, sometimes helping them find churches that are only minutes away from where they live. I just recently helped one of our Canadian listeners find a church nearby his family in the Netherlands that was only 20 minutes away from them, a wonderful confessionally Reformed Baptist church. And so who knows? I might be able to help you too, no matter where you live. Send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to my guest today, biblical counselor Russell Threet, as we continue our conversation on autism. That's chrisaronson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And by the way, folks, I do have more information right in front of me about that previous interview I conducted 8 years ago, actually, on autism, August 15th, 2018, with the aforementioned Kevin Cottrell, program director at Salem Media Group and morning host of Coffee with Kevin on AM 570 WMCA Radio. He was one of my colleagues when I worked there for 15 years. He has at least two children with autism. Christina Miller was on the show, mom of one child with autism and to another child with sensory processing disorder. She operates a blog called nurturingmindfully.com. And my former, one of my former pastors, the Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, Doug Totter. He has an autistic daughter, and our theme was help for parents of autistic children from parents of autistic children. And you can look that up if you type in Cottrell, C-O-T-T-R-E-L-L. I believe that's the one and only time I had Kevin Cottrell on my show. That interview will come up. Before I go to any more audience questions, I have a question that I hope does not reveal some kind of insensitivity on my part. I hope I don't anger anyone, especially those with autistic children.
I'll just chalk it up to ignorance.
But I'm wondering, may we find, appropriately as Christians, is it ever appropriate for us to find things that somebody is autistic or, as I was saying before, maybe mentally retarded or have some other issue, to find something they do humorous and even laugh, as long as we are trying to make it as clear as possible that we're not mocking the person or trying to hurt their feelings or anything like that? I'm thinking immediately of when I was visiting North Shore Baptist Church in Bayside, Queens, where my friend Ed Moore is the pastor. And one of my friends was speaking there for a special conference they were having. I think it was on Eastern Orthodoxy, the subject. And right in the middle of the sermon, this man, who I don't know what his situation was. I'm not 100% sure he was autistic. But this man who had a cowboy hat on, shorts, cowboy boots, very colorful apparel, and right in the middle of the sermon, this man, as loud as he could say, said, "Boring!" And he said, "You're putting us all to sleep, buddy. Find something better to say." And I thought this was hilarious. And I don't know if he had autism. I may have been told later if he did or not. I don't recall. But that's just an example. What do you think about the properness of a Christian finding things like that humorous?
Well, you know, again, I think it's pretty situationally specific, life of the church, what's the knowledge level there. But look, there's funny things that happen. You know, you obviously don't want to cause injury to someone. I'll give you an example. My sister has a son, my nephew, and he's actually autistic as well. He's a little more, some might call it higher functioning maybe than my son, very social young man. And, you know, when a pastor's preaching, they'll often ask rhetorical questions in their preaching.
Yes.
Well, my nephew is very prone to just answering out loud the rhetorical question. You know, it's like, what do you, you know, and just a pastor says something as simple as, "What do you think about that?" And you'll be like, "That's good." You know, he'll answer the rhetorical question.
Yes.
And everybody laughs at it.
I could give you an example of the man that I just mentioned who was a part of that panel 8 years ago on my show, Doug Totter, one of my former pastors. I can vividly remember him saying a rhetorical question in one of his sermons. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Who said that? And his daughter immediately yelled out, "I did." And he said,
"Yeah."
And he said, "No, it wasn't you that I'm talking about. It was Jesus Christ." But everybody laughed, and nobody felt awkward about it because she was like a part of the family, and it was not intended to be cruel to laugh at that.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to. You know, do we know these people? Do we understand what's going on? We can laugh with them. You know, my son is unintentionally funny a lot. And he just does some things that are hilarious. And sometimes when you laugh, it really bothers him.
Oh, really?
But it can. But we try to say, like, hey, that's funny. It's okay. Nobody's laughing at you. What you said was funny. You know, so it'd be hard to say in a specific situation without knowing the details. But, hey, life can be funny. And, you know, I would say, you know, if it's very clear, you're not mocking. It's an obviously funny situation. I mean, I'm of the mindset if it's funny, it's funny. But you know, we want to be sensitive to that where we can. But I think intentions matter, and hopefully, it won't cause any issues.
I think you addressed that a little bit with your character James in the book. There was something that he, I don't know if it was being hit with a dodgeball. You had him say something that was hilarious. About how people could, you know, people could be injured with this. And I laughed out loud while reading it and then recognizing that might not be that's part of the problem.
Right.
You could laugh and you could hurt his feelings. But I think you tie it back in at the end with these people in a situation where there was an enjoyable laughter in some of the situations that they were in. I would love to make sure that before the end of our interview that you are able to tell us. What I found beautiful about the book was as you walk through with all three characters on the level of the autism spectrum, you walk through their salvation stories or their, in the case of, I think it was Carter. Was it Carter or Clark?
Carter.
Yeah, Carter. Where perhaps the parents are never going to fully know exactly where he stands. But you just very pastorally, you addressed that. And so that made me think, before we're done, Chris, I would just love to hear about William Paul's story and also your church. Tell us a little bit about your church, too.
I can do that. If that's all right with Chris.
By the way, before you speak, it just dawned on me how much you look like one of my former pastors, Mark Grimaldi. Doesn't he look like Mark Grimaldi, Jason?
Now that you mention it, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So just to start, you know, with my son, William Paul, he's 16 now. It's been a little over 2 years ago. One evening we're at home. And I'll be honest, I'm not always the best about making sure we every day do a specific, you know, sit down family worship time. But this day I was on the ball and we were eating dinner, grabbed a Bible off a nearby shelf, read a passage, talked about it, you know, did that as we were finishing eating together. And everybody got up to kind of go do what they were going to do, kind of winding down for the night. And my youngest son, who at that time was probably 10 and 9 or 10, his name's Luke. And he came up to me after everybody kind of cleared out and said, "Dad, I got to talk to you." I said, "Okay." He said, "I'm really worried about William Paul." "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, he's not a Christian, you know." And I said, "I know that." And Luke's pretty strong for a young man in the way he thinks about his faith. And he said, I've been thinking about it a lot. I've been praying about it. I'm really concerned. It's bothering me." And I just tried to explain to him, "Son, you know, that's in God's time." We just continue to share the truth with him. He knows a lot about the scriptures. He's being exposed to it constantly and tried to ease his mind a little bit. But to be honest, I wasn't terribly concerned. I'm just trusting God with that. And a little later on, after we'd kind of cleaned up, I walked in our living room and Luke was in there again, and he had a blanket over the top of his head. And I was like, what's wrong with you?" He's like, "I just can't get this off my mind." Well, I was convicted then. Here's my 9 or 10 year old kid, right? And he's burdened about this, and I'm just kind of live and let live, I guess. I'm concerned about it occasionally, but it wasn't burdening me at that time. And so I said, well, let's pray about it. And we did, and it was time to kind of go to bed. And so I was going to go back and tell William Paul to, he had to take some medicine and get ready for bed. And I said, you know what, I'm going to take a swing, so to speak. And so I just sat down and sort of trying to talk to him a little bit. And like I said, he doesn't always tune in as far as a conversation goes, but then he tuned in. And so I started talking to him a little bit about the gospel. And of course, he knows the nuts and bolts. He's been around it all of his life. And he just looked at me and said, I know God needs to save me. I know God needs to save me. And I was like, okay. You know, I was very taken aback. And I said, well, you know, if you feel like that's what's happening, what God wants you to do, you know, you can do that. And he said, okay. I said, well, is that what you want to do? And yeah, I do. I want to do it. Okay. I said, well, do you want to talk to God about it? Or do you want me to kind of help you? He's like, I can. Okay. Let's pray. And he prayed the most beautiful prayer of repentance.
Praise God.
And it was just mind blowing. But of course, here I am. I'm a pastor, and I'm thinking, okay, he's done prayer. Like I want to make sure I'm very happy. But and so I try to start talking to him about repentance a little bit, and he looked at me, and I'll never forget this. I've shared it maybe hundreds of times at this point, but he looked at me and he said, "I'm enraged by my past, and I already regret some plans I had for the future." And I said, if that's repentance, what
that is? Sums us up.
Amen.
You know, it happened in a way that it could only happen for him, in a way that he could only express in his particular way, in the way his mind works. And that was the moment that, you know, that God got a hold of him in that way and drew him to salvation. And so, you know, I encourage families all the time, you know, trust God with it, but don't think it has to look like it looks for everybody else. You know, the way they express how God's dealing with them may be very different. And so I encourage Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, pastors, hey, be careful with the language you use when you're having these salvation conversations, because some autistic people are really literal. And, you know, you say something to them about, you know, the old, at least in my upbringing, the old Baptist way, right? Ask Jesus into your heart. Well, my son's been around that long enough. He knows what you mean, but the imagery might distract him, right? He thinks Jesus's legs are hanging out of his chest or something, you know, and he's going to laugh about it and you don't know what's going on. So, you know, be very careful about how you know, the language you're using and those types of things. But man, it was so wonderful. And I've shared that. And my church was just so excited. His baptism was amazing. He's very rigid. I'll never forget. We're in the back room getting ready for baptism, and some other young ladies were being baptized that day. And I sat him down in a chair because he's my kid. And I said, look, this is what it's going to look like, guys. You're going to come down. You're going to sit on the edge of this platform that's in the water. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, you know, are you coming today having placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and asking for baptism? And he looked at me and goes, who's going to say no to that? In the ways that only he could express it, it was like, it was so clear that God had done a work in him.
Wow.
But it had to be in a way that God worked it out in the way that his mind works. And so don't think, from a pastoral perspective or somebody that's sharing the gospel or whatever the case may be, that if you don't hear certain things or see certain things that, oh, well, that's not it. No, you got to kind of get in their space and their world a little bit and try to connect those dots and see, is God really moving here? And I'm just having to figure out how it's happening.
Amen.
And just as far as my church goes, I pastor West Park Baptist Church in Ozark, Arkansas. I've been here about 3.5 years. Got a great group of people here and good ministry. They've been through some things before I came, but God has really done a work here, and we have just grown together. They've really taken to a solid expository preaching. They've been You know, it's amazing when you have people that have been in church a long time that are coming up to you and saying, "Man, I'm really learning things. I'm really growing here." And that's spreading out into our ministries. We've still got some things that we're working on and getting things put together the right way. And we had to work through church structure and a lot of things like that. We brought deacons on for the first time at this church. They hadn't had a deacon in 20 years. And so it has been a joy to pastor these people. And like I said, I've been here 3.5 years and hope to be here a long time. So praise great, God. Great group of folks.
And what's the website?
It's westparkozark.org.
That's a great website. westparkozark.org.
Mm-hmm.
We have Joey in New Rochelle, New York. Hi, Russell. I think the uniqueness of the autistic should never be forgotten. So I was happy to hear that your son is so beloved by those who know him. As for my question, I certainly don't intend to open the broader discussion on vaccines here, but I am wondering your view on whether there is a link between vaccines and autism, and whether you have come across any credible research on that. Yeah, I know a lot of Christians who believe that. I don't think you have to be a doctor to have an opinion on it. So what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I would be the first to say I don't know. 100%. I can tell you what I believe. Do I think that there is a specific, you took this, therefore it caused that? I don't think so. I think there is a huge genetic factor as it relates to autism, people that are have predispositions. But I think a lot of things are contributing factors to maybe the onset of autism or its severity. Do I think vaccines could be part of that? I think it's possible. While I don't think vaccines in general are necessarily a bad thing, that's my opinion. I do think one of the things that we are beginning to see that they are doing some research on is the clustering of these vaccines and giving so many to children at once and how that impacts certain things. But again, I wouldn't want to speak dogmatically on it. People have got heartfelt opinions on that. You know, I'm kind of at this point, I'm of the opinion of I don't know necessarily what causes autism. I do, again, think there's a genetic factor. I think there's environmental factors. But I'm of the opinion that here we are. This is where we are. This is where our child is. And we're going to, before God, do the very best we can do to help them make their way through the world in the best way possible. And so people have got to have their own convictions and live them out. I'm not going to begrudge anybody either direction. I would urge caution and research on all of those things in every medical situation. As far as being a specific cause, I don't know. I think the jury's out. I know there was early research. It's been dismissed. All of these different things. There's lots of opinions out there. But I would just say, you know, prayerfully look at those things as a family and, make those decisions and, trust God.
Russell, maybe I could ask if this is too personal, that's fine. Let me know. But for yourself and your bride, Sarah, did you guys, having this be your firstborn child, did it affect how you had your next sons vaccinated?
No, you know, we had certain things that we did, and look, the way we've practiced some of these things over the years has changed. We've been much more studious about them, but I don't know necessarily that it. I guess maybe it did impact kind of how we went about it, asking questions. Are we going to do this one? Why would we do that one? You know, those kinds of things. But it didn't, I guess I would just say it didn't turn us into where we absolutely said no across the board, to vaccines at that point. But yeah, you got to understand too, you know, my second son's 15 months younger than my first son. It's not what we were living in either at that moment.
Gotcha.
Okay, we're going over a final break, folks. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And folks, please never forget, this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're ever the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime, very dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, I want to make sure you mark on your calendars a first-time guest for this coming Monday. I'm really looking forward to this fascinating conversation. I'm very confident it will be a fascinating conversation with my first-time guest, Joe Owen, on his book, The Gospel According to Marx, Stripping Political Rhetoric from the Kingship of Jesus. That's this Monday, Joe Owen speaking on The Gospel According to Marx right here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And last but not least, when I originally introduced my guest today with the theme of our conversation, which I thought was the title of his book, but it was a working title for his manuscript. And the correct title that is used on the published book is Ministry Across the Spectrum, Autism, Faith, and the Local Church. It's Ministry Across the Spectrum, Autism, Faith, and the Local Church. If you could, Russell, please highlight some of the major issues that you bring up in the book, because I don't want to lessen your time to do that and take more listener questions that may not be hitting the central theme of your book. So please bring up as many of these things as time will allow right now.
And if I could just jump in for a sec, Russ, if you could just tell us as pastors, as church members, what you want to take from this interview and from your book.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me and really the heart behind the book is I want to make church possible for these families. I write in the book, my professor at Liberty University, Dr. David Wheeler, told me one time, he had a daughter with cerebral palsy, and he told me that he believed that probably one of the most unchurched populations, and he said for sure he believed the most de-churched population in the United States is special needs individuals and their families. Oh. And so I just want you to know this is a real mission field. If we can find a starting point, most churches just maybe they think we've got one person with autism or Down syndrome or something of that nature. Hey, we know how to handle it. They've been here a long time. Well, yeah, maybe, but those families have probably committed to your church and they've probably dealt with some things that maybe you're unaware of. Most of these families that are committed Christians have got horror stories to share that have happened in church. Mm-hmm. And so every church needs to at least have had this conversation amongst their leaders, their teachers. Where are we going to start? And what is it? What would it take for us to try to make church possible for a particular family so they're not having to stay home on a rotation, you know, with this individual? You know, one parent comes each week or whatever the case may be. So, you know, it doesn't require perfection. It just requires willingness and willingness to learn. And so that's the big takeaway, you know, and I encourage churches to be honest about their limitations. Not to say we can't handle you, but to say this is where we are and we want to grow. Because there's kind of two ditches that happen in church life with this population. And the one ditch is, hey, we can't handle you. Don't bring the kid here. Don't bring the person here. That happens more than you would think. The other side is the overpromise and underdeliver. Yeah, we'll do whatever we got to do, we'll do it. But then we don't do much. And so be honest about where you are and be honest about, hey, this is going to be an ongoing conversation. If we have a problem, we're going to talk to you. If you have a problem, we want you to talk to us. We want to work through this as situations arise. And so, there's a lot of things I could go into within the book, and I'd encourage people, you can grab it from BaptistPublishingHouse.com. I always want to put them out there because they put in the money and the upfront stuff to get this book out there. You can get it from Amazon, but if you want to bless that ministry and all that they do, it's a great ministry. I'd encourage you to look.
What's the website of that?
It's BaptistPublishingHouse.com.
Okay.
And so, you may say, well, we feel like we've got a structure. Okay. If you've got families, maybe you talk to them and say, hey, where can we grow here? You know, look, we can't do everything. We can't all bring on a staff member or set up a standalone ministry, but there is a place to start. Hey, educate your frontline people, your parking lot folks, if you got that kind of setup, or your greeters at the door, you know, make sure they know what could happen. Hey, don't talk about how rude a kid is if you try to greet them and they kind of run away from you, you know, just really basic things. And the back of the book has some basic, in the appendix, some basic starting points and checklist things that you can look at that maybe just gives you a really basic place to start. So again, the heart for me is, how do we reach this population? How do we make church possible for them?
Great. And before I run out of time, I want to make sure I repeat both of your email addresses, and then we'll see if we could squeeze in a listener question or two. The Forge Theological Seminary website, where my guest Russell Threat is on the faculty. That's forge.education, forge.education. And if you wouldn't mind, because I didn't write it down, give us your church website as well.
My church website is westparkozark.org.
Westparkozark.org. And the website for Harborview Christian Church, where my co-host today, Jason Contino, is the pastor, is harborviewchristian.church. HarborviewChristian.Church. That's for Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island, New York. let's see. We have Raleigh in Aquabog, Long Island, New York. Raleigh says, can a person have a mild case of autism themselves and not even realize it their entire life?
I would say that's possible. There's a lot of people, the kind of joke is with older generations, hey, we didn't have all this autism in my day, but this is my perfectly organized shop building. And if you said anything out of place, I'm going to be really mad at you. Right.
Yep.
And so I think it is possible. And the question is it even necessary to find that out in an official capacity at this point, if you've lived your life this long? But I think I've heard of people that later in life have received an autism diagnosis. So yeah, I think it is possible.
We got time for one more listener question, which is anonymous. What encouragement can you give parents of autistic children that have such severe cases that they wonder if they could ever truly come to saving faith in Christ?
Yeah, I really address that in the book and the story of Carter, but here's what it amounts to. We most of us have a theology for what happens to those who die in infancy, things of that nature. John MacArthur's book, Safe in the Arms of God, maybe, in my opinion, one of the best treatments of that question. I apply that forward to those who don't have capacity. But I would also say for autistic people, a lot of them have knowledge and understanding that they can't express. And so keep exposing them to the truth. You may never know. You're going to have to trust God with that. And I know I can't imagine how hard that is, but you just continue to share the truth with them, to lean into whatever it is they're responding to surrounding the gospel and the church, the life of the church. Keep encouraging them, taking them. If they like the music, play the music for them. You know, all of those kinds of things. And just know that you have a God who is sovereign over all things, including salvation, and he can be trusted. And I sometimes that's harder than we want to say it is. But I would encourage them in that direction. I know we're out of time, so that's a short answer.
Amen. He's sovereign over salvation. He's sovereign over autism.
That's right.
Amen. One more quick time to repeat the publishing house website.
It's BaptistPublishingHouse.com. The book is Ministry Across the Spectrum.
I want to thank you, too, so much for being on the program today. I want to thank everybody who listened. I hope you all have a safe and gloriously joyful and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.